Hi team, and welcome to our Quick Connect podcast. A bit of an update, getting you set for the weekend and keeping you informed about everything that's going on with Team CP. Today we are going to have a chat to Melissa Walker, who completed the full Ironman in Taupo last Saturday and had an absolute blinder in some pretty tough conditions out there. She's been working with Team CP for the past 18 months, and in that time has built through a bunch of local triathlon events, did the half Iron Maori half event in November, and also just completed Ironman NZ last weekend. And like most of us, Mel's build-up has not been without its challenges, and we're going to have a good chat to hear about what that was about, what her learnings were, and maybe fire you up for your next adventure as well. But before we go too much further with that, you might, for those that are watching right now, you will see that we've got Tim Hansen, Team CB coach, sitting next to me. So we're going to have a quick chat with Tim. Tim's based in Auckland. He's got a background in Ironman. He's done three different Ironman events and multi-sport as well, which basically means he's done it all effectively. He's lived in Perth as well, so he's also got a bit of an outpost of Team CP athletes hanging out over there as well, which is pretty cool. Last year, he completed the longest day, so I know what that's all about. But unfortunately, this year, Tim slipped, cut his head open on the mountain run and had to pull out when he was competing in the 2 days. So understands what it feels like when your plan day doesn't go exactly to plan. How you doing, Tim?
Yeah, good, Rich. Thank you for bringing up that last little story there.
Yeah, you're welcome. Oh, that's rough, isn't it? How are you feeling about that now? Like, how have you sort of debriefed that and got through that for yourself?
Yeah, it has been a process, to be honest. It really has. So on the right side of it now, but you just got to take the learnings from it and use it as motivation to come back again next year, right? So it's been tough, though. It has. Personally, as I think you'd appreciate all the work that goes into it for it to be ended like that. But it's part of the sport, right? So you just got to sort of take it on the chin and move forward.
Yeah, that's right. You do. Every time you do stand on the start line, stuff can happen and go wrong, and you try and navigate that as best as you can. But obviously, when you're banging your head and you've got a bunch of blood everywhere, it doesn't look great. And it's not like you can just run back on the footy field. You're running off into the bush and no one's going to see you for another few hours. So that's a different kettle of fish as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It is. It's one of those things because, like you say, if you're on a footy field, you've got people watching you and that can keep an eye on you. But, 17Ks into a run where you've got 13 to go, it's a tough ask that. So I think it was just probably safer to pull the pin right there and then.
Yeah, right decision. And that doesn't make it any easier, but well done for making that right decision and you'll be better and ready for next year. With that, like Coast to Coast entries just come out yesterday and there was a bunch of sort of messages floating around the place. Have you got an entry for next year?
I don't at the moment. So I didn't get the golden ticket, but I'll wait for that wait list and see what that looks like. But that's like, 4,000, over 4,000 individual entries. So that's pretty honest, isn't it?
It is a lot. And there will be, actually, Nate, my son, put an entry in for the team with his friend, and they both got entries into that. So, well, that's one gone anyway. So, so there will be a bunch of that happens as well, multiple entries, and there'll be a fair bit of movement early on, which is why that waitlist won't come out straight away. So, yeah, here's hoping that you can come and have another crack next year.
Redemption time, totally.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But I want to catch up with you. You're, as we said at the start, you're based in Auckland, which is fantastic, and working with a lot of our guys in Auckland. And one of the best things about that is you know some of the local terrain better than what I do. You've trained on it. That's your local sort of spaces for going to play on. And specifically thinking coast to coast, I've run a coast to coast specific skills day down here for the last couple of years, but we are going to I'm going to run one on exactly the same day that you're running one in Auckland as well. Yes. So you're going to think Auckland terrain. So tell us a little bit more about that. Who's it for? Who are you kind of targeting with that day itself?
Yeah. So the objective of these workshops is to give people, allow them to gain a bit of those skills and confidence to kickstart their journey to coast to coast, right? So it is for those people that are, maybe they've got the golden ticket and they're lining up for their first time, or those people that have done it a couple of times but are still looking to gain a bit more confidence and to, step back and look at those basic skills so that they can move more efficiently across the terrain and across the course. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of who it's targeted for.
Yeah, nice. So where is your session going to be, Tim?
Yeah, so we are going to run this one out of the Waitemata Canoe and Multisport Club. So that is based in Te Aritu Peninsula there. So we'll use that as our hub for the day. We'll do some running, we'll do some riding, and obviously it's right by the water there. So it's a good place to put the kayaks in the water and go out and have some fun as well. So that'll be where we do it next month.
Yeah, nice. And our one, we're going to work on flat water for a start. In the past, we've done some river skills, but we're just going to go flat water, which will be a bit more technique orientated in the boat, getting people set up there. And then we're going to think rock running sort of in the lower Waimak. And then we're going to do some bunch riding on the sort of quiet back Canterbury roads as part of that as well. So in terms of people numbers, what are you sort of rolling with? How many people are you looking to take?
Yeah, so we're going to look at 8. We think that's a good good number to sort of manage and to give everyone, you know, that hands-on sort of experience. We'll see how it goes numbers wise and how much interest we get. If we get lots of people, which would be fantastic, we might have to have another one, which would be cool, but 8's a number we're working towards at the moment.
And how are you going to structure your day? What's the plan of attack?
Yeah, so it really is about just breaking it into 3 separate parts, right? So looking at the 3 disciplines. So we'll look at the riding, we'll look at bike setup, pedal technique, some skills around bunch riding and cornering and braking and stuff like that, and sort of how to fuel on the bike, and, you know, what can go wrong, those sort of scenarios. So mechanicals and stuff like that, really basic skills like that, we'll look at that. We'll do some running as well, basic technique stuff. How can we be efficient across this terrain? Don't fall on any rocks would probably be a good key one. I can talk through
with
that one.
Head. Yep.
Totally, right? nutrition on the go as well is a key part to look into, and some strength and conditioning and mobility stuff, as we'll talk about that as well. Like you just did as well, mate, we're right by the flat water there, so we'll look at our kayaks, look at the gear, what does good setup look like, and basic paddle technique and stuff like that. There will be plenty of time for Q&A as well across the whole day. It's pretty informal, but we've got a bit of structure there, and to go out and have some fun and to answer sort of all those questions as they come up as well, eh?
Sweet, 100%. And if you happen to be watching this, on the bottom of the banner here is like the website. So jump onto our website, What's On, and jump onto that Kathmandu skills course, or just buzz an email if it's too hard to find, and we'll send that back to you. And as I say, like, the first 8 people will be taking in Christchurch and Auckland on that day. So let us know if you've got any more questions about that. One of the other things, Tim, at this time of the year, we've had a bunch of people do Coast and Ironman and Motutapu and all those other sort of key events that are going on. Obviously, you've got a little bit of availability from a coaching perspective now that sort of you've had a few people sort of take a bit of a break at the moment.
Yep, totally. So it's one of those, it's the time of the year, it's almost like the off season, isn't it? So it's almost like the end of our racing season is finished right now. So the next sort of month, people are looking for entries and you know, just kind of seeing where they end up on the wait list and stuff like that. So by all means, take a break and all that good stuff. But I've definitely got some availability for those people that are lucky enough to get an entry or think they're pretty low down on the wait list. So get in touch. Now's a good time to start to look at what does my roadmap look like to get me there in about 11 months time. So
that's right. And you're talking Coast, but there's also Waka. You were down in Rotorua doing that with us. There's Ironman. There's lots of other events going on. There's a winter running season and things as well. So all those things, if you want to be better, let us know. Now's a good time to kind of get underway because you've got some availability, and I have as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nice. I'm going to chat to Mal in a moment, but before we go, what's your favorite thing about Ironman in Taupo?
About Ironman in Taupo?
Yes.
Oh man, the I've done a few Ironman races, and the locals get behind that race, and it's just an awesome atmosphere. Time. So I think they've changed it a little bit, the course, so it's more sort of spectator friendly. So that's an awesome race, a really, really cool race. And that swim was pretty cool too, actually. It wasn't too pretty last weekend, looked a bit choppy, but usually it's nice and flat and fresh water. It's good to swim in, so great race.
Yep, good job, good job. Nice work, Tim. Hey, thank you for joining us, and have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon. Keep doing all the great stuff that you're doing.
All good. Thanks, Rich. Thanks, well team.
Done. Okay, well done. Nice work. Good job. Thanks for that there, Tim. And I'm going to bring Mal on board, but before I do, I'm going to show you this photo for those that are watching. That's the Ironman finish. It's the thank goodness I'm here at the finish line. Mal, that's a pretty cool moment just there, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. Yeah, something I worked really hard for.
Yes. And how long have you had that goal in the back of your head, thinking that this is something I want to do?
I've always known about Ironman, but I always knew you could train your body, but I never really thought that I could. I was mentally strong enough, so I suppose that's come with, growing more mature and stuff, and having faith in myself.
Yeah, that's right. And when did you sort of think, actually, I might be able to do this thing, that this could be an option for me?
Oh, of course, after 2 back surgeries.
Okay, to fix your back, and then maybe I should be good now? Is that what it was?
Yeah. I don't know. I just sort of thought I'd done a couple of halves, and I thought, maybe I can do it.
Yeah. So we've been working together for the last 18 months or so, and you've built through those other events that I mentioned in the past. I guess before we go to that, how did you get into triathlon, and what was the thing that sort of sparked you to say that, hey, I want to do this thing?
I've always sort of been fit and healthy. I swam as a kid, always liked cycling. Running's never been much of a passion, but you sort of have to do it, don't you?
And
I just started doing a few events and enjoyed it, and they just got bigger and bigger as it went through.
Nice. So you mentioned a couple of back surgeries. That's been a challenge, a bit of a shoulder going on there as well. Tell us about some of those big challenges for you, and maybe also how we sort of look to try and manage those on the way.
Yeah, so I tripped over the dog when I was training for Taupo 2019.
Yep.
And unbeknown to me, I'd slipped a disc in L4, L5. Mm-hmm. So it took a while to sort through what that actually was, because I had a lot of referred pain.
Yeah.
And ended up having it's called a discectomy, where they shave that bulge off, and then had excellent results with that. So I started training for Iron Māori, and then it happened again, pushing a wheelbarrow. So got that sorted out.
Yep. How long?
Always that way.
Is it the same disc, and how long
same
after that?
Same disc.
Was? Right.
Probably about 9 or 10 months after the first surgery.
So not that long. Right. Okay.
No. And that really affected my left leg. I couldn't lift my heel off the ground. It affected all those nerves. I was limping terribly because my leg wouldn't work properly. It would drop out on me. So I had surgery, and that didn't really fix that problem. So I spent a year in the gym, doing weights and stuff with Harriet at Tasman Performance. I was doing squats and lunges holding a stick because I didn't have any confidence in my leg, and it took that long to build up the strength and get the brain and the muscles working together again.
So engaging that and working with that.
That
was my next question, actually. You're based in Nelson, and Harriet, you did a lot of work with Harriet, your strength coach, and she's amazing, and been a key part of your success. So what are some of the things, obviously she helped you initially, but over the last year or couple of years or so, what are some of the things that you guys have been doing together?
A lot of mobility work, just getting a lot of flexibility. She knew that my goal was to get running again, so I've just been doing ankle flexibility, mobility, knee, through my hips, and I've found that really to help my running. Just especially the ankle mobility and flexibility.
Brilliant.
It's really helped.
And from my perspective, that's been a massive thing. That just, it's that robustness to be able to help hold you together, and to be like, we threw a fair bit of training at you to prepare for this Ironman thing, but because you're catching up with Harriet on a regular basis, you're doing that sort of baseline work. It's meant that you've been able to cope pretty well with all that running that you don't, it's not your go-to most favorite thing, but you're able to get through those big sessions on your feet, weren't you?
I think initial strength, and then even when the training got tougher and I didn't have the legs to lift heavy weights and stuff, I'd still go just to get that mobility to keep everything moving and flexible, and it really helped. I swear by strength training.
Wicked. So you're a confidence swimmer. That's sort of part of your background, isn't it? And that swim was pretty tough on the weekend, wasn't it? I think you mentioned that is probably the hardest swim you've ever done. Tell us about the start of the swim. Tell us about how that was going for you, how you were feeling on the start line.
Oh, the day before was amazing. It was flat. We went out and it was just like, oh, this, and we got up in the morning and it was chopped up really bad. I was like, oh, that's cool. I can swim in the Nelson Harbour. It's cool. Yeah, that's the worst place to swim ever. And I was really calm and I got in the water. I was like, okay, cool, this is it. And I knew the nerves were going to hit at some point. I thought it might be the run, but yeah, the gun went off and I started swimming and it just got the better of me. The waves, all the people, the whole day, I had a bit of a freak out. And just sort of thought, I'll just put my head down, just one stroke at a time, and managed to get it back. But it was pretty scary.
So you had moments there that, hey, this is the thing I'm supposed to be good at, but I'm not sure if I can actually do this thing. Like the enormity of the whole day kind of almost got on top of you.
Yeah, I think it was the whole day was just, and I looked around and all I could see was waves and caps in front of me and caps behind me. And I was just like, I want to get out.
Yeah. But you couldn't get out. You had to keep going.
I couldn't get it.
Focused on one stroke at a time and quietly got back underway again.
Yeah, and just found some clear water, which meant I had to sort of change my pace a bit. And once I got away, I was good.
Yeah. But it wasn't so good. Like you also had there was a bit of push and shove around the boys early on.
Oh, yeah, I came around the second buoy and someone went to catch the water and caught my shoulder and pulled me under. And while I was sort of getting over that, someone sort of tried to swim over top of me, which I didn't take very well, though. I might have kicked them in the face. So sorry, not sorry if that was you. But,
yeah.
It was sort of a bit of survival of the fittest out there.
Yes. So again, finding that clear water and you're able to it wasn't a swim that you could get into a rhythm either because of the waves and things weren't coming in any sort of particular order as such. They were just coming in.
Yeah, it sort of calmed off a bit and you'd be like, oh, yep, sweet. And you'd get into a rhythm and then it would come in again. And there was, the waves are coming in quite fast. And so there's sort of no break. But I'm quite lucky because I can bilateral breathe. So I could just breathe the way the waves went coming and then change the other way. But, it was challenging. I just ended up finding someone's feet and I just followed them behind them.
Yep. And have you got any advice for others from a swim perspective that are looking at Ironman? What would you look to try and do to make sure that you can have a good day out?
Definitely train in the open water. I think if you can do that, and we do a mass start at the Nelson Sea Swim Series on a Thursday night. So I was quite used to the argy bargy, but not, we can get 150 people there.
Yeah.
But just not the magnitude of that and not with, a 15-hour day in front of me.
That's part of it as well, isn't it? Yeah, that's fantastic.
The major part.
Yeah, right. Okay. You got out of the swim. How were you feeling? How were you feeling in the transition and getting on your bike?
Oh, I was glad it was over. I felt really good. I was like, that was all right. And now it's time to put my bike stuff on and head out. Some people were putting gloves and vests and stuff on, but I generally don't get cold, so I wasn't too worried about that. I just put my bike shoes on, had a bit of a dry off, and I was out of there.
Wicked, nice and efficient. So you had a big tailwind on the bike. You were probably loving life for a bit there.
Yeah, it was great. But you could see all the other guys coming back into town and they were not loving life. And so, I'm a bit of a talker, as I've told you before. So everyone I was sort of passing, I was going, oh, geez, those guys don't look happy. We better make the most of this while it's happening. There's a little bit of a side wind as well, which makes me a little bit nervous when I've got my bigger rims on my bike and stuff. So I was trying to stay on aeros as much as I could, but if I got a little bit sideways, I'd come up, but I was still going for it.
Had the focus of making sure that you stayed down as much as you possibly can. So you got two laps to do. So two laps with the wind and then two laps into the wind. How did you, so you turned up into the wind. How did you go, especially probably on the second lap when you've probably had enough of riding your bike by that stage?
Yeah, well, I've seen a lot of people grinding in big gears coming back. And I was like, well, you know, we'd talked about RPMs and that sort of stuff. And, you know, and I'd been trying to ride in a higher cadence because normally I'm about 80 and I have been trying to get up to 90 to 100. So, yeah, on the way back, I just really tried to just spin it out and save my legs.
Yeah, awesome. And that's a super important thing for others as well, I think, from a bike riding perspective, because if you're riding with a lower cadence, really you're stressing your muscles and the strength to be able to push your pedals around. Whereas if you're working at a higher cadence, your heart and lungs is more of the challenge. So it's just finding that sweet spot for you. But especially in an Ironman, when you've got a massive run to do at the end of it, you need your muscles to be in the best possible shape as you can, because keeping upright and keeping moving forward on that run is really down to your muscles, and they the thing that gives up opposed to your heart and lungs. You're not even puffing sometimes towards the end of the run, are you?
No. And we've done a lot of sort of zone two training as well, so I was sort of really aware that I was trying to stay in that zone two when I was on the bike as well, and yeah, not pushing it too hard so that I was in threshold all the time.
Managing that intensity. So we've survived up that final hill, and then you're downhill into town, and then you've got a run to do. It's not just any run, it's actually a whole marathon. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I still can't believe I did it, to be honest. Yeah. I got off the bike, I'd eaten heaps on the bike, and keep my fluids up, and I got off the bike and I was like, oh, my legs actually don't feel that bad. And went in, and everyone, the supporters are great, you know, the Mercury Energy people, they look after you, make sure you're okay, and yeah, I'm fine. And then someone else comes along making sure you're okay, and you're like, yeah, I'm okay. And they're like, oh yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so got my shoes on, ran out of the tent, and I said to you, some kid had a push this button for extra power sign, and so I pushed the button and I went running off, and I was like, oh, hold on, that actually feels not too bad. So
it's good. Okay, you've got the power up.
Yeah, so I started my version of running, which is probably different to everyone else's, but that's how I do it.
Yeah. But the beauty of that, like, I was following on the app all day with all the other guys as well. You were like, it was just never in any doubt, it felt like, for the whole day. Like, you were good in the swim and you got out there at a good time, and from all the list of people I was following, you're kind of towards the front. And then the bike ride, you're a strong biker as well, which is awesome, so you're actually still towards the front of my list as we're going, and there it's just a matter of getting that run done. But you set yourself up so well because you did the swim and the bike well, and you had time for the run, didn't you? Not that you were out there to just cruise, you're getting it done as best as you can.
Yeah, well, our plan was always, it was going to be a walk run for me because of my back issues, and I want to be able to live after this. I didn't want another back injury because I tried to run a whole marathon.
Yeah.
And I wanted to enjoy it. I've been in the deeps of despair before on runs, and I just didn't want to go there again.
Yeah. Good.
I wanted to be really positive and just enjoy it. So I ran when I felt good, and I walked. I didn't muck around when I was walking, but I walked when I felt I needed to. Yeah. And my watch had gone flat, so I didn't have any worry about pace or time. I just went on how I felt. Yeah.
Great. And therefore it made it a much more positive experience. And the other thing you mentioned, that time went faster because you weren't really clock watching. You were just kind of doing what was in front of you.
No, 1 minute someone said 6:30. And then the next thing I knew, someone was going, you got 4Ks to go. It's 10:30. You're going to
Hassan. And I was like, oh, sweet, okay. Good, that's good. We'll keep on going then. You did make sure you ran past your accommodation every time as well. That was sort of one key bit. You were like, oh, stand up straight, keep going.
Yeah, so I sort of, I knew the course quite well. And so I was like, all right, I'll run along the lakefront, and then it's a bit undulating around there. So I'll walk there, and then I'll walk all the hills, and then I'll run down the hills. And that's what I did.
Yep, perfect, perfect. So good. That's awesome. Have you got any tips for others looking to do their first Ironman, that since you've just gone through that whole experience?
Trust your training. It okay. will all come together in the end.
Yep, because you were kind of nervous beforehand, weren't you?
Oh, when I first signed up with you, I can remember saying, I don't even know if I can handle the training.
Yeah.
It might, my body might break. Yeah.
But we built it up slowly, didn't we? We didn't just jump into it. We sort of went up and had periods of recovery after those events and bits and pieces and went again. Yeah. So, yep, that's cool.
Yep, trained really smart. Trained smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And I got really full on the run. I didn't feel sick. I just couldn't eat anymore.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that, because you eat so much on the bike. And then, I felt like my stomach was up to here. I was just like, nothing more can go in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's something to be aware of as well. And I did actually read that somewhere too. So, maybe try practicing running on a fuller tummy and then you can, feel how that feels.
But you adjusted well to that too. You went to more liquid energy opposed to doing food. So that was awesome as well.
Yep. And if you want to do it, do it. There's no reason. Yeah, just do it. And everyone's goals and success looks different.
That's right. I think that's the biggest thing, isn't it? You're doing it for yourself and doing it to see if you can. And you did, and you can. So how good is that?
Yeah, I did and I can. Yeah, great. Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. Well, how did it feel getting that pink band on at the final lap? Because every lap you do, you get a band.
Yeah, so you get a band. Obviously,
then people are cheering you on to say that you're going home now. You're on your way home.
It's great. And that pink band means everything to all the supporters, because you've got your name on your bibs and you've run round past people four times, so they know you. And and even before you get that pink band, you're like, you're on the pink next, you're there, you're going to do it. And and you're running past and everyone's going, you are going to be an Ironman. And you're like, yeah, I am.
Yeah, good stuff.
It's amazing. Yeah.
So obviously you're still on a high. You're sort of only on the sort of week, or not even a week after the event. How have you celebrated, or how are you going to celebrate this?
Oh, I'm going to get a tattoo. Yeah. I don't care if people think it's funny. No, I'm going to get the Ironman tattoo. Awesome. Yeah,
good.
I've worked hard enough for it, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. You certainly have. And I think one of the things you mentioned, you're a talker, and you just really enjoyed your day and enjoyed the experience with everyone around you, which is super cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. And everyone, if they're in the pain cave, they give you a wave or a thumbs up or whatever. And then some people are happy to chat. You know, you have a wee chat and then you're on your way again. She came out of our accommodation. She was like, oh my God, I could hear you before I even seen you. And I was like, oh, I'm making all my new friends.
Oh, that's so good, Mel. That's awesome. Brilliant. Hey, well done. It was super cool to follow you on the weekend and really cool to be able to share your story and your success. And it's been awesome to work with you over the last 18 months or so as you've built up to this, and to be able to be part of that success is pretty rewarding from my perspective. So well done. Go and enjoy, and all the best for the next adventure.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be yet. Maybe another
Ironman.
Who knows?
I made sure I didn't ask that. So have you got another one in you? But yeah,
I know you asked me that yesterday.
The door's not closed. Obviously, it wasn't too bad. No, well done. Well, you go and enjoy. And I've just got a couple more things I'm going to mention, and then we've got Mel's finish line video I'm going to throw up to finish off. So, well done, Mel. We'll catch up with you soon. And
there's a bit of crying.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with a few tears. It's great. Okay, catch up soon, Mel.
Thanks.
Just like that. Awesome to be able to chat to Mel and share Mel's story. If you're keen to think along, I guess it's any challenge or adventure that you've got, feel free to get in touch. But massive thanks to Tim for chatting to us, and Mel as well. And as I mentioned, this is a really good time of the year to get on board, and because our whole coaching team have some availability as well. So if you want to be fitter and stronger and faster, get in touch and we'll definitely help you out. Other things to mention, our adventure squad that we talked about last week, that's we're currently taking registrations for that. So if you want to keep yourself honest across the course of winter, jump onto our website or flick us a message, and also our Coast Skills Day in Auckland and Christchurch. But look after yourself, keep up the great work, all the best with your adventures, and we'll throw this video up to finish off. Over and out from Team CP for this week. Cheers, team. Come on.